The history of Connecticut is made up of stories, family stories of the people who shaped the state and the country. Some stories are celebrated and preserved in museums and history books. Other stories are not shared. They're left to languish in the shadows. Now that's changing. Today we're sharing the story of one family, the Lathrops.
Dawn Lathrop Good. I am the 2 times great-granddaughter of Daniel S. Lathrop. I'm here to tell the history and the story of my family and the formation of this state and this country. And I was brought here by John, who's doing so much more for families like myself.
I'm John Mills. I'm the president and founder of the Alex Brian Corporation. We're a Connecticut-based nonprofit, and we research the formerly enslaved, and then we try to find ways to inject them into the communities where they lived, worked, or died. So it ends up being like street name changes or murals or monuments.
West Haven resident Dawn Lathrop's great-great-grandfather, Daniel Lathrop, served in the 29th Connecticut Colored Infantry Regiment during the Civil War. His name is commemorated on the monument to the 29th Regiment in New Haven.
Yeah, Daniel Stanley Lathrop. And he was a quartermaster, I believe.
Quartermaster sergeant?
Yeah.
Responsible for kind of distributing the wares, the clothes, the things that the men used. He worked with the quartermaster and then get those things and distribute to the regiment. So he wasn't like aligned to a specific company. He was like a non-commissioned officer, kind of over responsible for that duty relative to the entire, you know, regiment.
Dawn first connected with John Mills after she took a DNA test.
So I get an email from a woman who was like, I don't know, like a sixth cousin or something like that. And I guess John had reached out to her about using the likeness of my great-great-grandfather, Daniel. And she forwarded it to me. And then I reached out to John. And then now all of a sudden there's all this other information that pops up. As I'm learning even now. So that's how it began.
Lathrop's family history in the Americas is long. It begins with a man who was brought over on a slave ship before the country was founded.
So I found out about Primus. That was the ancestor that pretty much started our lineage here. Because I found a book, you know, just Google, found a book called Tapestry. And it describes what Primus looked like. It gives like a firsthand account of how he described the voyage on the slave ship coming over. What it was like getting torn away from his mother, who was sick. She was left back in Africa. He and his father were both on the same boat. His father died on the boat. They threw his father overboard. Genealogical gold defines something like that, because many of us can't trace back to the slave ship. So that, I was like, oh my goodness, look at this. But then at the same time, I'm like, this is kind of horrible. So from there, it was just peaked, like, okay, what happened after that? What happened after that? But to get a description of how he looked, how he had curly gray hair around, like, you know, the crown of his hair, and how all the kids at the neighborhood liked him because he was, you know, like a nice old man and things like that. So that was cool to find out, because how many of us can say, oh, this is my ancestor. This is what he looked like. This is what his personality was like.
His son was a soldier in the War for Independence.
Yeah, Primus's son.
His son. His son fought in the Revolutionary War, came back from the Revolutionary War, was still enslaved, got sold, and then that person freed him. And then he ended up using his war pension to free his wife. So he had the foresight to be like, nope, this stops with me. And I believe from him down, or maybe from his son down, we've been free since.
A few generations later, Daniel Lathrop serves with the 29th Regiment in the Civil War. When the war ends, Daniel feels his country has not embraced him as a full citizen.
Daniel, you know, he comes back and a little disturbed with the country. So he leaves. He moves to London. And he stays overseas for a year or two, but then he's missing home. He was born and raised in New Haven. He comes back. But then he joins up with Worcester's Guard, which was the Connecticut National Guard. He's in a segregated battalion. It's the same thing as the Civil War. It's 1881, and he's writing about it. In 1881, he's going, The state is still trying to get rid of us. They're trying to get rid of this battalion. They're telling us we're not as valuable as the white battalions. You got to understand, like, the time and these people. I revere them. Like, I see them as heroic for putting up with all that. Mm-hmm. Right? They put up with all that while still supporting the country.
John Mills has found a cache of family history in the military pension files.
After the Civil War, Daniel applied for his pension. And when you applied, you had to prove you are who you're saying you are. There were, like, illegal things going on, some people trying to apply for this money that weren't actually in the Civil War. And so the War Department kind of scrutinized your application. Because of that, these pension files had affidavits in them. Like, you had to get people who knew you to go, yeah, that's him. Mm-hmm. So they would write affidavits. Mm-hmm. And so when you submitted your pension application, there tends to be lots of documentation in pension files. Sometimes they're people's marriage certificates. Like, they didn't have copy machines back then, so they sent in the original, they sent in their only copy of their marriage certificate,
right?
Or so pension files are like a wealth of information about a person. The firsthand accounts of people who knew them talking about who they are, who their parents were, when they met them. And in Daniel's case, he was clearly an incredible writer, had a lot of foresight about wanting to document his family. So in his pension file, he goes into great detail about who he is, who his father was, where they came from, where he grew up. I mean, things that generally aren't even needed in a pension file. He's documenting. I mean, it's 100 plus pages. He's got a lot of stuff in his pension file. And so it literally is like a gold mine when a person fought in the Civil War and applied for a pension. You learn a lot about who they were.
Mills says these stories are unique because there almost wasn't a colored regiment in Connecticut.
That regiment was kind of forced upon the state. In 1862, the Militia Act was passed, which the first time that it was legal for a black man to join a state militia. And Connecticut could have started a colored regiment back when that was passed, but they didn't. The Emancipation Proclamation goes into effect in January of 1863. Connecticut could have started a colored regiment then, but they didn't. Many other states did. And many other people, African Americans from Connecticut, went to those other states to fight because they couldn't do it here in Connecticut. And Connecticut continued to say no to that until March of 1863, the Enrollment Act goes into effect. It basically was a structure for a draft. And Connecticut's quota was 7,700 men. By November of 1863, Connecticut had only supplied 2,300 of those 7,700. So Lincoln was coming down on Connecticut. Lincoln was like, you owe us 5,400 more men. So what's up with that? And the state's going, well, wait a minute, what do we do about this? Maybe we should let black people fight. And the legislature here in Connecticut was like, that's the craziest thing ever. You're going to give black people guns? Are you nuts? There was all this pushback. And finally, they realized they had no choice. And in mid-November of 1863, they were like, I guess we got to start a colored regiment.
Her family history makes Dawn Lathrop eligible to join the Daughters of the American Revolution.
When I realized that, I was like, oh, you can't tell me anything now. You can't tell me anything now, you know. Also a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha. I'm like, AKA and a DAR, you can't tell me anything right now. I actually even looked into that. You know, sometimes I'm just like, nah, because it's like, okay, you need to provide this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Right. And at the time, I was just like, I'm busy.
Right.
I'll get to it one day, but I'm busy right now, you know.
Lathrop and Mills say Connecticut can do more to honor and share the history of the soldiers who served in the 29th.
These people are supposed to be revered. The 29th? They were the first unit to walk into a burning capital of the Confederacy. Mm-hmm. Aren't they supposed to be in some big monument on a hill?
They should.
Yeah. Connecticut doesn't represent them that way. Matter of fact, the state of Connecticut doesn't even have a monument that they sanctioned that recognizes these men. Individuals had to figure out how to put one at Squallow Park.
Lathrop and Mills acknowledge that there is resistance to embracing this part of American history.
I think to learn that either you are the descendant of an enslaver, or if not that, you have been historically the center. And your story is being told, and you've had privileges that these people of color and these marginalized communities did not. I think those things are traumatizing. And I think that is the germination of, well, it's more comfortable to make it less impactful or not to tell it at all. Let's pull that information out. I think there's a trauma on the other side.
I don't know that I would use the word traumatizing. I think I would probably use the word embarrassing.
Yeah, there's something there. And
I think that's why
it doesn't show up in school books.
They don't want to own that.
Dawn Lathrop says she's amazed by her ancestors' ability to endure the challenges they faced as Black people living in America.
I feel a sense of pride with what my family has done, but there's also a sense of, like, wonderment. How did you manage to do all of that and navigate through all of that and still manage to be successful in life?
In the midst of all of that.
In the midst of all of that. We're talking even before this country was a country, mm-hmm. you know, 1700s, 1800s. Like, how were you able to do that? I mean, there's enough challenges now in 2024. I can't even fathom.
That was Dawn Lathrop, a descendant of Sergeant Daniel Stanley Lathrop, who served during the Civil War with the 29th Connecticut Colored Regiment, and John Mills, an independent scholar and president of the Alex Brian Corporation, a Connecticut-based nonprofit researching the lives of enslaved Americans.